Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This week on Hometown Ghost Stories, Vicksburg, Mississippi, was the site of one of the most important battles of the Civil War. Although the ghosts of those who fought still linger, they're not the only ones. We take a look at a mansion originally built for love that would be repeatedly stricken with tragedy and death almost from the beginning of its existence. This is episode number 57 of Hometown Ghost Stories, Phantoms of Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Tiffany took the dead AirPods out of her ears and put them back in the case to charge. She was in the back seat of the family SUV, with her parents in the front and her little brother Justin fast asleep next to her. They were both in high school, and their father was making them waste half their summer going on a family road trip across the country. "Hey, honey, we're almost to the next stop." Her mother looked back and smiled at her. Trying to remain positive, she looked at her mother with a smile and said, "Can't wait." A short while later, they pulled up to an inn in Vicksburg, Mississippi, a far cry from their house in the suburbs of New York. It was dusk, and their parents went to check in. Tiffany and Justin decided to stay by the car until they were ready to bring their bags in. While standing there, they were approached by a boy in his teens. He was wearing clothing that appeared older, but elegant. "Part of a reenactment or something?" Justin said as the boy approached. The boy stopped and smiled at them, but didn't answer. "Sorry about my brother. He seems to have left his filter back in New York," Tiffany said to him. Just then, their father called to them from the doorway to start grabbing the stuff. After yelling back they'd be right there, Tiffany and Justin turned to the boy to finish the conversation, but he was gone. They both gave each other a nervous look, but brushed it off. Later that night, after returning to the inn from a much-needed dinner, Tiffany and Justin retired to their room after saying goodnight to their parents. "Hey, where do you think that boy went earlier?" Justin said. "Not sure, but you probably scared him away with that aggressive comment," Tiffany responded. "It wasn't even that bad. You're being so dramatic. Hey, I want to go check out the cannonball stuck in the wall some more. Do you want to come with me?" Justin said with glee in his eye to his sister. "Sure, the Wi-Fi on my phone isn't working great anyway. Let's go." The siblings started walking down the hallway, heading towards the cannonball. Tiffany started feeling uneasy and realizing the place felt oddly empty. There were no sounds of people out and about or any noise coming from the rooms. As soon as they reached the cannonball, they heard a loud bang from outside the hotel. The brother and sister jumped and both instinctively headed outside. As they made it to the outside of the inn, they saw the boy again, this time laying on the ground next to a rifle with blood surrounding him. Tiffany stood in shock while her brother ran back in the building yelling for help. As she snapped out of it, she ran and kneeled next to the boy. She asked him his name, if he was in pain, but the boy didn't respond. Finally, he sat up a bit and smiled at her before his head collapsed back to the ground. Annoyed that no one was coming out, she stood up and yelled out towards the building, "Is anyone going to help us?" Her brother emerged from the door out of breath and yelled to her, "I can't find anyone." Then he looked a bit shocked and said while running to his sister, "Where is he?" Tiffany raised an eyebrow and looked back towards the ground. The boy was gone. The siblings looked at each other in complete shock. "What the hell is happening?" Tiffany thought. They walked back to the inn, and as they entered, there was the boy in the middle of the lobby, just standing there, smiling at them. I'm Rob Coakley, and this is Hometown Ghost Stories, Vicksburg, Mississippi. Vicksburg, Mississippi sits on the western edge of the state, and at one point, it was right along the Mississippi River. Originally built in 1719, it wouldn't be incorporated as Vicksburg until 1825. It was a major trade city because of its location by the Mississippi River. In 1876, through extensive flooding, it would change the course of the river and cut Vicksburg off completely. The economy would suffer greatly, and it wouldn't be considered a river town again until completion of a canal in 1903. One of the bloodier battles of the Civil War took place where Vicksburg National Military Park now sits. Remnants of casualties and bloodshed are now all around the park, from the gravestones to the monuments and old artillery equipment. People who have walked among the gravestones and taken photos have seen orbs and even full-body apparitions walking amongst the columns of the dead. At the Texas Monument, there's a statue that sits beside a cannon. People have seen and also taken pictures of what appear to be smoke coming from the cannon as if it had recently been fired, which of course, it has not. The Pennsylvania Monument might house the scariest encounters that happen within the park, though. Within this monument sits 5 bronze medallions of each of the unit commanders from Pennsylvania. Some people have seen the medallions blink in their direction while staring at them. Even more terrifying, others have seen the 5 faces cry tears of blood on occasion. In 1840, 28-year-old John Klein would become smitten with a local girl by the name of Elizabeth Day, who was just 14 years old. Wanting to marry her and impress her parents, he set off to build her a house that he promised to give her as a wedding gift, and construction began shortly after. In 1842, the main portion of the home would be complete, and John received Elizabeth's parents' blessings for the now 30-year-old to marry their 16-year-old daughter. After the wedding, he did exactly what he said he would do and gave the house to his new bride. It would take years for the entirety of the house to be completed still, but for the next year, the newlyweds would take a honeymoon to Europe to find items to furnish the house. They would even have custom pieces of furniture made for the house, and one would save most of the family's fortune, but we'll get to that in a bit. The Klein's home would be completed in 1852, and the couple would have 10 children. As were the times, not all of them would survive. 2 would pass away in infancy. Another young daughter would die of illness in one of the upstairs bedrooms. Then in 1863, the Civil War would be fought in Vicksburg. The Union Army would then begin a siege on the city. During this, they would fire cannonballs daily, and Cedar Point wouldn't go unscathed. Several cannonballs would blast through the property. And to this day, one even remains stuck in the wall in the parlor. During this fighting, the family's fortune was in a safe hidden within one of those custom furniture pieces. Without this, they probably would have lost almost everything. After months of fighting, the Union troops would claim victory, and future President Ulysses S. Grant would spend at least one night in the Klein's house, where today you can now sleep in the same room and bed that he did. The Kleins would even name one of their sons William Tecumseh Sherman Klein, after the Union general that decimated the South during the war. You see, the general was related to Elizabeth, and the locals were not happy. In fact, they told Elizabeth that the son would be cursed. Years later, when he was 15, he would go out hunting with a friend. The pair would sit on the back steps of the property. Willie's friend then accidentally knocked over his rifle, causing it to discharge and shoot Willie. Willie staggered up the steps to reach his parents for help before falling down and dying. The family would own the property until 1919, when it was sold to the Podesta family. Their daughter endured a tough life dealing with mental illness. She was known to be in and out of mental institutions until one night she shot herself in the head in the ballroom of the house, ending her life. Later, the house was on the cusp of being demolished in 1960, until a theater group saved it and held plays in it for nearly 20 years. A private investor would buy it in 1981 and turn it into a bed and breakfast. It was recently sold again in 2022, and plans remain for it to be a destination place. Sometime within all of this, the graves of the family members of the Kleins were relocated. If you do venture to the property, you may come in contact with some of the spirits that still call the place home. John Klein is believed to stay in the parlor of his former home. Many visitors have smelled a tobacco pipe being smoked in the room, a favorite of John's. Elizabeth has also been seen throughout the house. Some have seen her walking the halls, and others on the stairs and in the rooms. It appears she seems to be going about the same routine she would do in her normal, everyday life. The ghost of the little girl that died upstairs has been seen throughout the house in various states. She's appeared as a sad crying girl on the staircase, but other times, she's been heard playing and giggling upstairs. William, who was tragically shot, has also been seen and heard throughout the house and in the yard. The sound of a shot has sometimes been known to accompany his appearance on the property. The tragic passing of the Podesto's daughter has started some of the most terrifying of the hauntings. The ballrooms will begin to play music late at night and early in the morning, usually between 2:30 and 3:30 a.m. Eerie on its own, it gets even scarier. Objects moving, glass breaking, and even the sounds of a gunshot coming from the room have been heard by staff and guests. The cleaning staff have also reported throughout the years of seeing objects and rooms moving on their own, and even the beds having indentations of people sleeping in them after they've been freshly made. Among all the family hauntings, soldiers from the Civil War have also been spotted and heard around the property. On top of being riddled with cannonballs and gunfire, the building even shortly operated as a hospital and morgue for soldiers during the war. Shadow figures have been seen outside of the property, as well as the sound of men yelling and screaming in pain. One guest even reported that her and her husband woke up one morning to see all the loose change they left on a counter arranged in a straight line, and all of the pennies were face down. Perhaps a Confederate soldier on the property that still resents Abraham Lincoln. Cedar Point saw a tremendous amount of war, trauma, and tragedy almost from the beginning of its construction. This continuing through the century, as well as the remodeling of the home constantly, and even the disturbance of graves on the property, marks why this is truly one of the most haunted locations in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
What's going on, folks, and welcome into Hometown Ghost Stories, episode number 57. And this one is officially our Thanksgiving episode, I suppose you could say. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I'm Jesse Wilkins. I'm joined here by Rob Coakley. Hello, Rob.
I am absolutely petrified every time I put a video together now and start including the patrons' names at the beginning or the end of the episode, because I'm like so stressed that I've missed one.
Yes, we accidentally left Rachel out 1 week, and since then I have lost sleep, and I've been scared. So she sent us death threats, and we responded putting her back in the list, and we'll never mess that one up again.
Also, fuck you, Dave.
Yeah, I could tell. I hear a lot of background noise. Dave, is that your mic coming in way too hot? Hello, Dave, with the hot mic.
What's going on? I have my it's me. It's me. I have my heater going. I forgot to shut it off. But I'll do that.
Please be cold. So
this is why I say these things at the beginning of the episode. Like, everyone thinks that we just have this vendetta against him,
And then he does things like this and just absolutely ruins the production of the entire show. And it's always warranted. If I say it, it's warranted, just so you know.
I don't know if it's ever warranted, but welcome to everyone who's hanging out in live chat. You guys have been hilarious through the entire video there. So if you're interested in joining the live chat, you can always tune in live every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But I see a lot of the regulars here. We have the Stephanies. We have Kim, who was nice enough to tag a few people over on Facebook. So welcome into anyone that is new. She says that this makes her want to go back to Vicksburg. I've never been to Vicksburg, but I would love to go. Catherine's here. Rachel's here. Lily is here. I always have such a hard time reading your name because it's upside down, and I have a difficult time reading that kind of stuff. I see Matthew T. Dale is here. Welcome in, everybody. We even have even better hometown ghost stories in the chat. So welcome in even better hometown ghost stories.
I would like even better hometown ghost stories to share a ghost story with us so that we can compare and contrast, to be fair. Right.
But then if it is better, then we lose. And
yeah. That we have to like forfeit our name and all of our content to them. Like that's
I think
no one said we had to throw down pink slips, Rob.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time, Dave.
Yeah. Shout out to Brennan B, Captain McSlugs, everyone else that's hanging out. If you guys want to join us again, Tuesdays, 9 o'clock, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. So this is episode 57, and this is our first time in Mississippi.
Yes.
For an episode, which is always exciting to get a new location. Vicksburg is a very haunted place, and I had been doing my research on the wrong location in Vicksburg because I was like, oh, well, we're definitely going to cover the McRaven Mansion. So I did heavy research on the McRaven Mansion. I'm ready for McRaven, and we're not covering it today.
And I threw the giant curveball by not covering the most well-known story of Vicksburg because I want to save it. Because when I was looking up stories of Mississippi, I wanted to cover the coast because I grew up on the coast. I lived there from like 8 to 15. And I was looking at stuff for the coast, but then I came across some of the stuff in Vicksburg. And the thing that caught my eye was the cannonball in the wall. And I'm just like, that's insanity. Like they left the cannonball on the wall that whole time. So
maybe
then
they
started
to get it out. If a cannon puts something in your wall, it's got to be difficult to get it out of there.
I mean, you cut around the wall, don't you? Like, it seems easy enough.
I guess they used to make those buildings out of that, like, that super dense hardwood, and there's just a cannonball lodged in it, projected by an actual cannon. I mean, I'd probably leave it there, too.
I would 100% leave it there. That is
awesome. I mean, it's awesome now, but, like, if it happened right now to you, like...
I'd be annoyed right now. Like, I don't have heat.
Please stop shooting holes in my wall.
Please stop shooting holes in my ship.
There's also more pressing matters like who is shooting a cannon at me at this moment and how do I survive? And please get the police over here at once. And
well, they knew who was shooting the cannons at them.
That's true. So yeah. Part of the Civil War, obviously, there's a lot of history in that. Vicksburg has a ton of Civil War history as well. We were talking about it briefly in the Patreon pre-show hangout. But I think the numbers are somewhere around 20,000 people that had died in and around Vicksburg in the Civil War in a very short amount of time. So not necessarily Gettysburg levels. We did cover Gettysburg on a previous episode. So if you haven't heard that one yet, definitely check that out.
Yeah, nothing's on Gettysburg levels. But this was a good one. Vicksburg was a big deal.
It's certainly up there. I want to welcome in Solar Flare, who is here for the first time during a live stream, but caught up on our entire catalog on Spotify in a week. And that is impressive because, like we said, this is episode 57. But if you include side content episodes, that's well over 100 episodes.
Episode a million at this point. So going back to the Battle of Gettysburg, like everything that I found haunted for what we cover tonight has some sort of tie to the Civil War between the house and the battlefield. And the battlefield is terrifying. Like there's so many different things within this battlefield that's haunted that people either catch on camera and like different monuments doing different things. So we can start hitting some of those if you guys want.
We can.
I said we do it. So we start with history.
Yeah. Catherine's asking if Dee overhauled my background. She did not. It's just a different camera angle. And thank you, but no, this is my.
Can you stop leaning into my frame, by the way?
No, I got to show off the cool background. I just got a compliment on the background. I didn't get a single compliment on me, so I've now cleared out. My background is the.
You have like 2 feet that you could move over. it would still be fine.
Push over.
now he's in Rob's house.
Now he's on my lap. It's very terrifying. This is not good for the audio listeners, just so you know. It doesn't work.
It's not. I mean, like I said, the background is the star of the show right now, and we're showing it off. But no,
this is good for the audio listeners. If you ever hear like a blank spot with like there's like nothing happening, you're like, wait, did my thing shut? Did my podcast shut off? Like, what's going on? It's always worth it to come over and check the YouTube to see how absolutely hilarious we are, or we think we are.
well-oiled mechanic Ian says, I feel like there would be a fair amount of sandpaper involved in repairing a cannonball hole, Rob.
Should have never.
Yeah,
should never
told everyone.
If you don't know about Rob's irrational fear of sandpaper, that's enough to make him vomit, which is also
I wonder if there is a phobia word for a fear of sandpaper.
There's got to be.
There has to be. So this haunted battlefield, instead of making fun of my phobias, which are a real thing.
Zero phobia.
It is zero phobia with an X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Zero.
A zero phobe, which is what Rob is. That sounds much worse than what it actually means.
Rob is a zero phobe.
Might be unable to tolerate holding a piece of dry sandpaper, but be perfectly comfortable holding wet sandpaper.
Rob, do you have a piece of sandpaper handy that you could test this theory?
Do you think I have sandpaper laying around?
It's got to be somewhere in your house.
0% chance he has any.
Before next week's episode, I'm going to deliver a wet piece of sandpaper to Rob, one way or another, and he's going to hold it. We're going to report back on this.
Oh, Ricardo, was that Rob? Ricardo says it was a machinist, not mechanic.
Machinist, yeah.
That sounds like it might be the same thing, but I'm obviously completely wrong about that.
It's not the same thing.
I hate this. I hate all of this.
Let's talk.
Can we start over?
Is that okay?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Hometown Ghost Stories.
Dave just finally wanted to do the intro.
That was my first intro ever. How was it?
It was terrible. You stopped halfway through and that's asked true. How you did.
Oh my God. What do we got going on next week?
All right. Vicksburg, haunted battlefield. Before I start,
Pop says we need to hose down Rob's Ouija board. We talked about our Ouija board a few episodes ago.
Oh, I know.
It had a texture of sandpaper. So yeah. If we hose it down, maybe it'll work better. Maybe it'll slide better too. It'd be able to Ouija a little better, you know?
I hope to God anyone listening, this isn't your first episode. We usually do start to talk about.
If it is, it's also your last episode. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's been awful.
Subscribe on Patreon. Get more content just like this.
And we have once again succumbed to chat, which has derailed the show.
Yes. Damn. All right. This haunted battlefield in Vicksburg, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a little screen share. Sorry to the people that are listening again. I just want to show some photos of the graves that they have there.
All right. I'm going to pop the Bloody FM logo up here because this will probably be the last show before they cancel our contract.
So one thing we don't normally see is like these parks that have insane amount of graves like this, like the cemetery's like built right in.
Oh, that picture looks upside down. Is that just me?
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
Mm.
What the heck is going on?
It's not upside down. Yeah, it's just the top.
It's the bottom of the tree line, I think.
Yeah.
It's just messing me up, yeah.
So you can see, like, you walk around this place and there's just these graves and everything, which is crazy. And then people have seen apparitions and shadow people and stuff walking through these graves, which is, you know, always terrifying. I just think it's just so, it feels so out of place, doesn't it? Like, even though it is a battlefield, like, you know, it's like a national park battlefield, it's still kind of jarring to come across graves, I would think.
It's jarring. Well, I guess. It's right. A graveyard.
It's a national park. It's not a graveyard is my point.
Maybe. I mean, I wonder if is that an uncommon thing in national parks?
No. Maybe. National parks is where they bury. If you have a national, maybe national cemeteries. I don't know. Maybe now I'm confused.
We're crossing into uncharted territories.
Mm. All right. Anyways, let's talk about the monuments. Yeah, Rachel brings up the point. Makes sense though if people die there. Yeah, because they're just probably burying them on site, right? Like just as soon as they can. But there are two monuments here, one specifically that I found absolutely terrifying, which is the Pennsylvania Monument, which they have a bronze or bronze medallions of the five Pennsylvania commanders that were at this battle. And people have seen them blinking, which is weird.
Oh, that's cool.
And others have seen tears of blood run down the face of these medallions.
See, that's not the first time we've heard something like that before. Usually it's like not a stigmata thing, but like you see it on like, where's there's the statue of Mary. Mm-hmm. Cries blood, and I think there's a statue of Jesus also that cries blood somewhere.
Yeah, so it's not always blood either. Sometimes they just kind of perspirate. There's a pillar as well at the location that I almost covered last week that like seems to they call it like the I don't know if they call it the crying pillar or something like that, but they haven't really been able to debunk why it would just have like condensation on it or whatever. But yeah, so that's not the first grave that we've seen that's quote unquote crying grave. Mm-hmm. I believe the one in Savannah did too, right?
Yeah, she cried as well. She cried tears of blood as well.
Soph says metal figures crying blood is called rust.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Do we think that specifically because this is bronze, some of the weathering would cause this to happen sometimes?
I'm sure that the weathering could make water dripping down it look more like blood if it's something that would rust.
I don't think does bronze rust.
Well, I just mean.
But so, I mean, like, if water was running down a bronze statue, it could look like blood because bronze is naturally a rusty color, right?
Right, and that was the point I was trying to make. Like, it just because of the coloring and stuff, where like the one in Savannah was just a statue. There, it wasn't bronze; it was just a normal, like, sculpted statue, and that's a little more jarring because the contrast against the coloring, right? Where we said the bronze, not red, but it like has that reddish color, I would say.
Yeah. Solar Flare says the rust thing only works with iron thing. Might be right about that. We have a couple actual scientists in chat. Could you guys weigh in on this, please?
Sure. I mean, not iron rusts the fastest, but lots of metals rust, not just iron.
So then we get to the Texas monument, which is a guy holding his rifle, standing on a cannon. And people have seen, it's clearly not a real cannon, right? But people have seen it, like, have smoke pouring out of it, like it just fired.
That's like, pretty cool.
Like, people are seeing this thing, and they've seen apparitions around it as well. But it's just, again, something different, right? Like, just a whole different vibe that we're getting from this.
Yeah, the smoke coming from the end of the statue cannon, or statue's musket or whatever, his rifle. That's something brand new.
Yeah, and I was reading a bunch of different stories while I was looking into this about people that used to go to the national park at night when it was still allowed before they set the rules for dusk, which a lot of parks have done now. Or people.
Sorry, Soph's comment was pretty good.
What was it?
Yeah, Soph says, as a scientist, metal figures do not have a cardiovascular system.
Thank you, Soph. And that's why we have scientists in chat.
Well done.
Brennan managed to bring up the Titanic. He says, in that case, there's a ton of blood circles pouring out of the Titanic.
Bloodsicles is what he was going for there.
Bloodsicles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Can we get through like this one story without breaking every 4 seconds? Or
I would like to talk more about the Titanic, actually, if we have a minute.
All right. Go for it.
I didn't really.
Called your bluff again. Do you want to intro the show again?
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of Hometown Ghost Stories. This is episode 57. We are covering Mississippi. How was that? Was that better?
You were laughing throughout the entire thing. It's awful.
You did better than I did because every single time I intro the show, I have to think about what the show number actually is. So there was no second guessing. Third time's a charm, I guess. So if we intro three times, we can get it nice and smooth.
So that's pretty much the battlefield that we covered. And like I was saying, I read stories of people that work there, people that used to visit this place, and they all talk about how terrifying it is, the amount of things that they've seen or felt. The feeling one always gets to me because, you know, are people saying that they see things because they just want to have a story? You know, like the crying statues, I kind of I lean towards not believing it personally.
Yeah, I lean towards believing it because of the reasons that we said is it could be water coming from it. Also wouldn't be the first one.
No, but that means you don't believe it. You believe well, that they're seeing something, but you're debunking it by,
right.
So the feeling one, we've all had that feeling at some point somewhere that we've been to, and it's just been, so I understand the feeling, I guess. And maybe it's because I haven't seen what they've seen that I don't, that I lean towards not believing it. Like, I think it's always hard to believe those things if you haven't seen it yourself, even though I want to always believe it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I give folks the benefit of the doubt, but as you mentioned earlier with the whole, like, how your feelings are, or how, you know, you could kind of sense the energy shifting in a certain haunted location. That's something that you can't prove is or isn't happening. Mm-hmm. You can never fully debunk, like, you know, who are you to say that they didn't all of a sudden feel this charge of energy or feel pissed off or sad at this exact site? And what is the cause of that change in mood? And a lot of experts do call it back to, or, you know, they refer to that as being something paranormal.
Hmm. So the battlefield is a very interesting place. And if we ever get to Vicksburg, as much as I want to go to the place we're about to talk about, I would like to spend the day, like not the whole day, but I'd like to at least go check out this battlefield and see some of these monuments and some of the sites of this place and just like kind of feel the energy there, if that makes sense.
It does. And this is definitely on a list of Civil War areas we'd like to cover. Brodad brought it up in the patron pre-show hangout about how important this city was during the Civil War. And this is kind of the turning point. I believe it was actually on July 4th that battle was fought or something along those lines, but he seemed to have the details for us.
Yeah.
But it's obviously a very important city when it comes to the Civil War. And there's a lot of history. It even, obviously it goes back further than the Civil War as well. There's a lot of suffering and everything. And for a while, this city was not well off on its feet. It wasn't as established as it is now. So with the struggles and everything, and there was a lot of events that took place in the area. We'll go more into it when we eventually cover the McRaven Mansion, because obviously I did my homework on the wrong location here. But we'll save some of that for next time.
You have a city to do in like 6 to 9 months if you wanted to. You have a whole thing to cover. The fact that the Mississippi River was on the banks of Vicksburg and then just wasn't anymore is insanity. Like, just the way that these things can change and how it changes the entire economy of the town, because now it's no longer a river town.
Yeah, and obviously we've talked about things being... Or places near water being more.
Yeah, well, if a ghost, if entities need energy to manifest, then there's no bigger natural generator of energy than naturally moving water, which is why you see so many near rivers.
Right.
Particularly.
Yeah, the Mississippi River. We've covered St. Louis, and there's just so many towns along this river that are haunted, which is a... Well, we're not going to, we'll definitely be seeing the Mississippi River in our future for more episodes. All right.
100%. So
we should probably start diving into the Cedar Grove Mansion.
Let's do it.
So, you know, different time frame, right? We have this 28-year-old who falls in love with this 14-year-old. Pretty gross, but 1800s, I guess, like different time frames. So we have to look past that for now, unfortunately.
Well, they just die so young. They're like, well, marry them before she dies.
Sure. Fair. So he finds this girl, Elizabeth. He falls in love with her. And the way he wants to show his love to the parents so that they allow her to marry him is by building her this mansion. And clearly it was around a lot of cedar. Like, that's how it gets the name Cedar Grove, right? And now, 2 years later, they do get married. And what I found insane about this whole thing, other than, you know, the age thing, which is gross, they go on their honeymoon for a year they just go overseas for a year. And I know things are like harder to do. So like when you do something, like, I guess like we're going to go overseas now and we're never going to be able to do this again. So let's just do it for an entire year is crazy. Cause I can't even get out of, you know, on a vacation for 3 days right now.
I know. Do you think maybe we're just a lot busier than the people back in that time frame were? That's got to be it, right?
It feels like it, right? Like
they must not have had a ghost podcast in October. That must be why they had so much spare time.
Yeah, imagine having a ghost podcast in like the fall. It is it's a lot of work.
Yeah, in the 1800s. Like, we have no listeners. Why?
What do you mean you don't know what a podcast is? So yeah, so they go over on this honeymoon and they'd use this opportunity to not only just go on a honeymoon, but this is how they decorate their house. And we've heard this from other people, that some of the other rich families that we covered, where they'd go to Europe or something and they'd point something out. They'd be like, yeah, send that back. I want that in my house. And that's how they furnish their house, to basically show their wealth off to other wealthy people. It's like, yeah, well, I got this in France, and you know, this is the most rare marble in the world, and blah, 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 blah. And they had a lot of custom furniture built, and that comes into play later, because he had a piece of furniture built with a hidden safe in it. And what happened was, when the house got overtaken during the Civil War, they came in and we don't know the specifics behind what their actual loyalty was to either army. It seems like if you read into it, though, there was some loyalty towards the Union Army based on, hell, they're naming their son after a Union general that she's related to. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That raises some things. But there was like this whole side story that I didn't get into of John Klein being like this almost like Robin Hood like figure of the Confederate Army. Like, he had like this whole backstory and stuff, and they thought it was him. The problem with that is he was like 48 years old during the Civil War. So
ancient.
So he probably actually, there's no record of him serving.
If he was 48 years old, he was literally the oldest person in America during the Civil War.
So he wasn't probably serving, and there are no records of him serving. So it's,
well, we know about record keeping back then, and I do know that everyone was serving. And it wasn't like, oh, you're too old. They were enlisting every, especially the, well, if you're saying he's a Union in the Union, but like.
No, he would have been Confederate.
He would have been Confederate because of where he was. But if you're saying this family had ties to the Union Army, I mean, obviously he wasn't fighting in the Union Army.
Right.
But yeah, and I would say that 48 years old does not rule him out of serving at the time.
Well, it did, unless he volunteered. So like,
well, probably volunteered.
But it doesn't look like he did, is what I'm trying to tell you. There's no record of it. There's no, every account shows that he was with his family during the whole time.
Like Matthew Thomas says, we know the records were stellar back then.
So there's even records of like Ulysses S. Grant coming across the family and other Union generals coming across the family with him there. So also, let me give some credit to
be, I mean, of course, there's records of Ulysses S. Grant. He was the general. But there might not be records of, like, every single soldier who fought it, you know, even if it was for a short period of time.
Yeah. But they still have documentation for everyone that enlisted, for the most part. We're saying the same thing. Kind of.
That's okay. Sort of. It sounds like we're saying different things.
So I want to just give credit. I got a lot of my information from Seth Parker. .net. He's actually been there. He's a photographer, and he got a lot of the history of the story. And I also went back and double checked a lot of it as well. But if you're looking for a great, like, condensed version of everything, go to SethParker.net and look for the Cedar Grove one. So,
Ian says no Miller Lite this week, and I have no idea what he's talking about. I've never drank Miller Lite. For everyone that was speculating in chat what I was doing during that short monologue, well, for one, I wasn't calling out Rob for having a nice beefy monologue there like he does every time that I rant for more than 45 seconds. I was fixing up a link there. So if you guys haven't already, you could donate to St. Jude 3000 push-up challenge. It is a good cause, so make sure you guys go over and do that. That link might be broken. I just updated it. It should post again in a little bit. But that's what I was doing.
I was having a discourse with Dave. I wasn't monologuing.
You were doing a great job. And I like when people do a good job on the show, especially with a topic that I know nothing about, which I'm also, you know, looking into. So everything's good. We're professionals here.
Mm. Why do we look so much alike tonight? I hate it.
You know, yeah, I do look like a slightly more handsome and younger, stronger, taller version than you. But, you know, that's nothing new.
Well, we know you're not taller than me. We know there's a height chart to the show.
Judging by the cameras that people can't see right now, I am clearly the most tall person in the room. So okay, we can move on from that.
Yeah. In fairness, Dave's the most tall person in his room as well.
Brennan says he's been doing the 3,000 push-up challenge and he's very sore. I'll do it along with you. I got to get in shape here and a little exercise here. But yeah, again, make sure you guys swing on over to that link and donate. We'll put it in the show notes as well for audio listeners. It's a good cause. So
swing Jesse's over. Jesse's going to go do 3,000 push-ups while Rob's talking about the next haunted location.
Hit us with it, Rob.
Well, we're going to stick on Cedar Grove because that's like the main story on this one, that it just got interrupted so that you can do some push-ups for a good cause.
All right, let's do it. Yep.
So we don't know if he actually was in the army, where their loyalties were and all that fun stuff. But again, they named their child after a Union general that Elizabeth is some sort of distant cousin of. And the town is pissed about it. And fair enough, because Vicksburg was, like, we talk about how it was an important battle and a turning point. It wasn't just a battle. Like, they laid siege to this town, right? They cut off all of their supply lines. They were firing cannons and shots into all of the buildings that were here. Like, that's why there's cannonballs in this house. Even though they became like a hospital for the Union Army and stuff, this house was still getting hit by cannonballs. So was everywhere else on the town.
Right. They effectively tried to starve out this entire city. And they, once they overtook the supply lines on the Mississippi River, they basically tried to choke them out.
Yeah. So like, it's not just a bloody battle, but like just an all around terrible battle based on what everybody in the town was going through, right? So once everything's over and now she has another child and she names him after a Union general, like,
yeah, cat's out of the bag at that point, right?
I understand why the town like would be pissed, although I clearly, you know, agree with the Union side of the battle. If you grew up in this city or this town after you dealt with that and you're like, now it's almost like it's getting rubbed in your face. It's like, hey, I just named my son Union McUnion Face or something like that. Like, so, like,
what do you mean? We just liked the name.
We had this picked out before it was even a thing. All right. We went to Unionville and rode the Union train. You've never heard of this place, obviously. You're not as cultured as we are.
Yeah. So.
So this is Union McUnion Face. So what year was Union McUnion Face born?
Somewhere time right after the war. I'm crying and my eyes are red. It's the worst. So they name him after, and like the town tells her that her child's going to be cursed. They go to her. They're like, you have laid a curse on this child by naming him this. And she's like, there's absolutely
times have changed. Imagine like someone in your neighborhood brings home a new baby and you don't like their name. So you and the entire neighborhood just gets together and shows up to the house and be like, your baby is cursed. I'm assuming with torches and pitchforks, and then they go home.
God, I'm kind of upset that I didn't do this when you guys had all of your kids. Like, just showed up to your house and gave you a baby gift and said your child is cursed and then walked away.
Our curses haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. Dave cursed your gaming chair, and you recently just won so much poker that you want a seat at the actual World Series of Poker.
The main event.
The main event.
Yeah,
I get to congratulate Rob. Send him a message. Say congratulations. Because it's been a lifelong dream of his, and he actually got a seat at the main event of the World Series of Poker, which is a huge deal, and we're super excited for him. Granted, if he loses, that's on me and my curse.
Finally. That's good. Also, you better talk to the people at the World Series of Poker and make sure that Tuesday night you're free.
Yeah.
Because only one of us is allowed to miss a live episode.
on the week that they do it, right?
Hey, I tried to tune in.
You did.
You did. It was real awkward. We didn't like it.
Brodad chimes in and says, when Vicksburg was taken by the Union, the Confederacy was divided into two. So that's an interesting little piece of history for you there.
No. So let's go back to this actual curse, not the reverse curse that Dave put on me, which we hope stands into
Dale says, curse me next. a custom curse for Dale's gaming chair. Dale, as long as you have a gaming chair, that seems to be the extent of Dave's cursing abilities. So.
Mm. So Elizabeth's goal with her son is to prove everybody wrong. She wants him to grow up to be smart, educated, handsome, like well-mannered young man that grows into like a very successful man. And that's what she does. She lays out the guidelines for him to do that. And everything's going really well. And he goes on this hunting trip with his friend and they come back to the house and there's some conflicting reports of what happened. Basically, either they sat by a tree or on the stairs and one of their guns discharged accidentally. There's nothing intentional that happened. There's no story of anything intentionally happening here. But one of their guns either fell and discharged or they were playing around with one and it discharged. And he tragically passes away on the property, either right outside the door or right in the yard there. And the curse seems to come true.
That's what this is to be fulfilled, yeah.
And this is the fourth child that they lose on the property. They lose two infants, which is very tragic, but not completely uncommon for the times. And they also lose another young daughter, who is the one that we can hear playing in the upstairs room or sometimes looking somber on the stairs. But her presence is constantly felt around the staircase and in the upstairs.
So that's one of the hauntings. What other ghosts do we have at this house?
So we have a lot of the Klein family that haunts the property. We have John Klein, who smoked a lot of cigars. We get the cigar thing again.
He's the one that built the house, right?
Right. So he's the one who built the house. And you can smell that the cigars in the parlor, which I believe is also where that cannonball is. So no one obviously is smoking in the house ever because it's 2022. And you'll get that smell. And his wife, Elizabeth, has been seen throughout the entire house. Basically, hers is more of a residual haunting because they see her going through like normal day-by-day tasks, just doing like what she did in life, right? Walking around, probably tidying up a bit, making sure everything's the way she wants it to look in case she has guests over or whatever. The daughter we just went over.
The cigar smoke would be a residual haunt too, though.
True. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you think her haunt is more of she doesn't realize she's a ghost and she's just still going about doing her thing, not necessarily an intelligent haunt?
It seems like the entire family, for the most part, is like that, including the daughter and the son.
Sorry. There's something for me that's like extra scary about those kind of haunts where it's just basically a tape recording of the same thing going over and over again with these ghosts where they don't realize you're there. They don't realize they're dead. They don't realize they're ghosts. Like, why haven't they been able to pass on? And why do they still haunt that place? It's something extra scary about that. I know like the real scary ones and the terrifying ones are the ones that are actually dangerous. Mm-hmm. Poltergeist, demon, demonic activity and everything. But
well, I think you mean it's scary like for the entity itself, right? If you're trapped in like a perpetual like repetition,
yeah, that's
eternity. Mm-hmm. Like that's scary. Like what if you end up a spirit eternally bound and to I like just a have 3-second repetition?
Eternally have to keep producing videos for Hometown Ghost Stories every Tuesday. You guys are just consistently sending me audio to produce. I'm consistently telling you that you didn't record it loud enough. This is my true nightmare. Yeah,
we actually basically
I might be in one
we
right
are
now.
A residual haunting. We just keep doing the same thing every 3 weeks.
Thank you for joining us on Hometown Residual Haunt Stories.
Yeah, we are a ghost loop.
So to lean against your point here and agree with it, we have an entire family that's residual haunting the house, right? Mm-hmm. But it never seems like they're interacting. So how terrible is it that like your entire family is within the confines of this house haunting it, but you're never interacting with them. So even so, now in death, you're all there, but you can't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Ian brings up a good point. Says, my thoughts on residual hauntings are more of a replay. Like, they're not really a spirit at all. And that's the other thing too, is like, are these actual spirits that are trapped on Earth forever being punished by being in a loop of producing episodes or tidying up beds or whatever it is that they're doing? You know, you hope that it's just something being replayed. Yeah, like it's just some kind of event that's being replayed in the house, just some sort of energy that's moving around. I don't really
The biggest example of this, of the Andrew brings up the stone tape theory, which is like the residual haunting theory, is the biggest example is Gettysburg, which was a Civil War battleground. And here we are on another Civil War battleground. So, I mean, the theory, I feel like it's just as strong here as it was there.
But we also have Civil War ghosts at this house as well, because it was a makeshift hospital for Union soldiers. Like we said, Ulysses S. Grant stayed here. Now, I didn't see any indication that he was a ghost here, because he only stayed here somewhere between 1 and 3 days. It's just when your house has somebody like that stay there, you are inclined to talk about it. Hell, we talk about the Oliver House where Benjamin Franklin stayed there. Mm-hmm. And it's a big point. Yeah,
his ghost is still taking baths with maids.
Yes, which is a great residual haunting that I would like to have happen to me.
Rob's his lifelong dream is to just take baths with Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin's in a fucking maid outfit. Rob's like, finally! So this building is it's still a hotel, right? Like, or it's an inn. You could still rent rooms here.
God damn it! it was an inn. It just
have bathtubs.
It was recently just sold this year, so I'm not really sure what they're going to be doing with it. It's a beautiful property. Like, they do weddings here. They do like events here. So we're going to see if they continue to do stuff like this.
Oh, you could stay. I'm literally booking a room right now.
Oh, are you? So
I'm not going to go, but yeah,
it's.
I'm at least going to pay for it.
Nice. So yeah, that's it's still a place. It's still a place you can go to. It almost got destroyed, which is something that happens to a lot of these like mansions we've talked about from the 1800s, right? Where these big mansions built for these wealthy families. We talked about it at the one in what's the one in Illinois? We talked about the manor there, Alton, Illinois.
Oh, that's a long time. McPike
Mansion.
I was mixed something now.
Yeah, the McPike Mansion. It's this big mansion, and then it falls into ruin, and it almost gets destroyed. Same thing happened to this in a theater company. Like, it's the twist on this is like a random theater company started using it just to put on plays for like 20 years. And that's what kept it.
Yeah, we saw that, I believe, at the Whaley House in San Diego as well. It's like a house that you look at and you wouldn't assume that a play could be held in there. Obviously, both relatively large houses. This one, I would say, is probably significantly bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, you would assume that the crowds back in the day, it's not like today where you need, plays are being held at theaters, but or like bigger theaters, obviously. But so I guess they would probably perform for smaller crowds at smaller locations.
Yeah, little local companies and stuff, but it kept the mansion alive until somebody bought it and turned it into that bed and breakfast. And like I was saying, we have the Civil War ghost there as well. It was like a Union hospital. So there are sounds of cannon fire outside sometimes, all kinds of stuff. It's a really cool location.
It's interesting to hear like the similar, like the repeat ghost stories from Vicksburg that you hear from Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. Just the phantom cannon fire, the soldiers that you see, the apparitions of the soldiers, and like all the residual hauntings. Just the consistency between these two places is really cool. I think this is the only two towns that we've done that were Civil War battlefields, I think, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, we'll definitely
randomly had a Civil War monument that's supposed to be haunted in the middle of nowhere that had nothing to do with the Civil War.
Episodes ago. Yeah, the Ogden, Utah episode, but there was no. Yeah, I mean, they had stations out there, but there were no battles fought there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much more likely that a place like this with, 20,000 Civil War deaths would be haunted by people from the Civil War.
Mm.
There is a lot of haunted, like, bed and breakfast in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
I just want to know, are we going to cover the McNutt House?
because that's a haunted place in Vicksburg. And I was so disappointed that we didn't get to talk about the McNutt House yet.
No, we can cover that next time. I do have a little the Coon Memorial State Hospital, if you want to just hit on that real quick.
Sure.
So that was opened in 1830 as Vicksburg, Mississippi Hospital in response to a large smallpox outbreak. Investigators report witnessing a variety of unexplained paranormal activities such as apparitions, shadow figures, disembodied voices, and other strange noises. Others report feeling a strange presence as if someone is watching, which is always the creepiest. Mm-hmm. Hate that feeling of being watched. Coon Memorial State Hospital was closed.
That's why we have a show where you guys can watch it.
Yeah.
From a live audience. Hate the feeling being watched.
It was closed in 1989, sometimes also referred to as Coon State Memorial Hospital. So there's other stuff there, but I just wanted to hit on that one real quick.
Very creepy.
So, but there are other things in Vicksburg. Again, we're going to hold off on the McRaven House. That is one that I do want to cover in another episode when we come back to Vicksburg. There's just enough here that we can do more than one episode in Vicksburg.
You know, we always say that, like, oh, we're going to come back and do this episode. And it always feels like we're never going to come back into the episode. But we do come back and do episodes. We've done Chicago twice already.
Yeah, yes, and there's way more we can do in Chicago as well. Mm-hmm. It just might be a little more spread out than in the beginning of this of the show. We're trying to hit more and more locations and spread it out a bit.
For sure. We're going to cover Seattle. For those audio listeners that listen from Seattle, according to the analytics, Seattle's like our number one most listened to from city. So
not next week, not the week after, but the following week, Jesse's going to be covering Seattle. He just claimed it.
I like that you gave away the week after to someone else. That would be my week.
Yeah.
Rob, sure. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that.
Jesus Christ. I can't do any more episodes, guys. Falling apart over here.
All right. Well, anything else on what we've covered in Vicksburg so far?
No, but I do think that the Cedar Grove Mansion is a really cool place. I'd love to go see the cannonball stuck in the wall. It's better than
a
rock.
It looks really nice. I mean, the inn, it looks gorgeous. They've kept a lot of it very historical looking. They have the pool looks nice. The whole thing looks extremely classy. So it would definitely be a more elegant stay than some of the other like haunted hotels that we've covered. Not that there aren't some nice ones out there, but some of them we've covered and we're like, I would only stay in this because it's allegedly haunted and it looks right. Like you may leave with having to get like a hepatitis shot or something. So this is one of the more classy looking ones, definitely on the list.
So have we made the decision? Are we going to do the side content live on Friday? We were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I think that's the only option at this point, right?
Yeah. So this Friday night, we will be doing a live side content episode on the Blood Countess, Elizabeth Bathory, and the crazy story behind her and the hauntings at the ruined castle now.
She's a vampire. Legend has it she's still out there vamping.
Is that what they call it? All right. Well, she's still out there vamping, so be careful. But okay, so Friday, we usually do a little later on Friday. We want to call it 9:30 Friday?
No.
Nope.
All right, 9:30 on Friday it is. We'll see you guys then. So what was it, 9 o'clock then?
Let's not confuse the people. 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Friday night. Join us.
Bonus episode, our Black Friday special. Pop says prayers for Peyton. And again, you can drop that drop a donation in that link. And I think that'll pretty much do it. Let's give a shout out to our patrons real quick.
Yeah.
Let me just pull up the VIPs. So VIPs, we have Jeannie R, Jimmy H, Justin T, Lisa J, Mallory K, Mike B, Mom and Pops W, Stephen V, Demon King as well. Thank you guys for being VIPs. Absolute legends. Jake V, Stephanie A, Sydney B, Anthony, Angry Dave Rocks T, Brandon W, Captain McSlugs, Cody G, Kirilly J, Mark M, Matthew T, Mariah M, Papa Squatch, Rachel B, Sarah, Dave Loves Bacon R, and Sarah W, as well as Soph and Hooper. Special shout out to Casher as well, if you guys haven't already. His new album just dropped on all platforms. You can check it out on Spotify. House of Roses 2. I listened to it. It's good.
It's phenomenal.
Made me cry a little bit. It's actually absolutely banger of an album. So check that out for sure. So we'll be back on Friday. Bonus content episode, Black Friday special live stream. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah. We're not going to go shopping.
Yeah.
No, never doing that again. Did that once. It was cold.
Very cold.
So cold.
And not worth it. I bought like four really crappy TVs from, I don't even know if we went to Walmart or Target or whatever. And they all broke within like a month. I had to go return them and exchange them. Warranties. Who wants to use an extended warranty or whatever it is? Anyways, it was a terrible experience. I would never do it again. Not worth it. A couple of years ago on Black Friday, I was like, all right, I'm not going to go, but I really wanted to buy one of the cameras that I still use for this show, filming episodes. And I was like, I'm just not going to do it. The next morning, instead of like staying up till midnight, next morning, I just strolled into Best Buy and got the exact camera that I was looking for. It was still on the shelf for the exact deal I would have got the previous night if I had waited in that line all night. Anyways, not worth it. Not worth it for the Black Friday shopping. That's my little story there. I hope you guys liked it.
Do you have any other shopping tips for us?
Cyber Monday. Maybe we'll have some deals on the Hometown Ghost Stories merch store.
I don't know. We make 76 cents on a shirt. How we going to
say? I was about to say, maybe we'll knock it down, and instead of making 20 cents on a shirt, we'll make 10 cents, you know, just for you guys. A little deal for Cyber Monday. We'll have to see.
Oh, man.
Let's raise our prices for Cyber Monday. We'll get a deal.
What a deal.
Let's buck the system.
Yeah, all right. The show sucks. We'll see you guys on Friday for a brand new episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate everyone hanging out in live chat, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.